A very good morning to you, my dear listeners, and thank you. Thank you, David, for the early morning scoop. And so welcome. So good morning to you, everybody. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. Good morning, Namibia. And Monday morning, the 28th of July. So hopefully you had a very, very, very restful weekend, for you to go again. You know, you have a very restful weekend for us to go again, you know, contribute to the well-being, to the growth of Namibia, wherever you are. So wherever you are, you have just hold on.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Safas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Samweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombidom Banawa, Orangika. Seithani na omayakudo ni randitoma yue yongeshefa yue kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yu mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM. So hi.
All right, welcome back. You know, when you are live, there's always some technical issues that comes through that you may encounter. So good morning again. Good morning once again. And welcome to Eagle FM. And as I said, it's a Monday morning. I hope you have rested enough for you to go again. You know, as I said, we have a country to build and develop. And your contribution to that is very, 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 very important. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making the headlines. We keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning. Today is the 28th of July, 2025. And let's see what happened on this day in Africa. So is there any significant event? Not much of significant actually event happened on this day. But we have a few. On July 28, 1984, an earthquake with an epicentral intensity about VI struck the southern west region of Nigeria. So this event is notable as earthquakes are really, really rare in Western Africa. So making it a significant geological occurrence for the area. So on the 28th of July, 1988, the individuals who murdered American student Ami Bayo in Cape Town in 1993 were granted amnesty by South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And today, it's a World Hepatitis Day. Globally recognized, a World Hepatitis Day is observed on July 28th. Many African countries participate in event and campaigns to raise awareness about the viral hepatitis, a major health challenge across the continent. So today is World Hepatitis Day. So hopefully there will be some campaign to raise awareness today on this viral disease. So, all right, Monday, July the 28th, what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? Despise not a snail for its slow and struggling movement. With time, it shall arrive. Despise not a snail for its slow and struggling movement. With time, it shall arrive. Now, the snail travels painfully slow, yet inevitably it reaches its destination. Now, the proverb encourages not dismissing someone just because their pace is slow. Progress, no matter how gradual, matters. So the proverb reminds us that true worth is not measured by speed. You shouldn't belittle someone just because their method or timing differs from you. So don't undervalue someone because their path is different or slower. So despise not a snail for its slow and struggling movement. With time, it shall arrive. So don't undervalue someone because their path is different or slower. So that's the thought of the day. That's our thought for the day. And hopefully that help you in the way you make decision and choices today throughout the day. So, all right. So welcome. If you're just joining us, our time is 40 minutes past the hour of 7. And Unpacking the Day goes until started at 7:30, and we end the show on at 9:30, half past 9. So what you can expect today in the show? So as usual, we'll be crossing to Windhoek for our F&B Namibia segment. We will be by, let's say around in 5 minutes time, so we'll be crossing now to Windhoek for our F&B segment. And what we have on the show today, so there's a story that bring a bit of hope, a project that gave livestock to 30 farming families. It's a story in today's edition of the villages. So we'll look at that. And President demand actions on higher bank fees and financial exclusions. So we can look at what the president actually demanded last week. So when it comes to higher banking fees and financial inclusions, and also, can Namibia youth lead the country's energy transformations? Youth in Oil and Gas Summit, we will look at that as well. So we will have at 8:30, we will have a guest looking at can Namibia youth lead the country's energy transformations. So someone from the Youth in Oil and Gas Summit will be our guest today. And please don't miss that because it's going to be explosive. All right. So 42 minutes past the hour of 7. And remember, don't miss the F&B Namibia segment. So that's coming up at 7:15.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Welcome back. So we will be crossing now to Windhoek for FNB Namibia segment. And then after that, we will be coming back back here to Ondangwa to continue with...
You're now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
Welcome to all the Eagle FM listeners to another fantastic edition of the F&B segment brought to you by none other than F&B Namibia. Today, we are joined by Theo Hidulika, Client Support Specialist at F&B Namibia. Theo, how are you doing this morning?
We are well. How are we?
Doing well. Thank you. Let's get right into it. Continue to educate the nation about protecting their bank accounts. And one of the questions that we received from the audience was, what measures do banks have against phishing attacks where SMS and mobile data is manipulated?
All right. To our listeners, thank you once more, Eagle FM. Thank you for the platform. So the bank have multiple layers of protection when it comes to clients' accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the simplest ones I can provide is 2FA authentication. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that every time you try to access your account, you'll receive an OTP.
Okay.
This OTP will authenticate that their transactions. We also have real-time monitoring and alerts, meaning that your banking apps will notify you if something is going on your account, any transactions that you might pick up. It's going to monitor that. So we also have that. And also our banking app is secured.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is it's almost impossible to hack into the banking app. It has multiple layers.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, the cyber guys in the world are busy attacking Africa with web attacks and so forth. So there's a lot of layers put in place.
Mm-hmm.
But also the best and the easiest one that we have is client education.
Okay.
What does this mean? It means that if we can educate you, if we can upskill you on how to react when this happens to you, it will save you a lot of time and a lot of money. Because remember, the scammers need you to log into your
account.
I can give an example of myself.
I
think 3 weeks back on my Telegram app, I received a message from a number that
mm-hmm.
was imitating to be one of my friends. It's like, no, click on this link.
Mm-hmm.
I clicked on it just to test. Within a second, the app was alerting me that remote access provider, somebody is trying to log into your Telegram, and a 2FA pin was sent to my site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was somebody who's not unaware, they would have just let it
exactly.
So there are layers of protection put in place, but the best one and the safest one is always a 2FA authentication. When you log in, you receive the OTP that goes into your number.
Yeah.
And this should go for everything, including your social media,
mm-hmm.
anything that has a password, set up 2FA authentication for extra layers of protection. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Telegram, that one I can also relate to, because a lot of the times it will say like a contact that's in your phone has joined Telegram, and then they send you a link. But then when you, if you look at like the, if you click on the contact, look at the number, it's obviously America, not that person. And it's like how.
Nigeria, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a contact that's in your phone.
Yeah.
So it's very, very easy to fall for that one.
That is an account takeover per se. So mm-hmm. those guys took over somebody that's probably in your contacts.
Yeah.
And then are pretending to be them to fish information from you. So yes.
Exactly. The second question we received is about, people have heard on past episodes of the F&B segment that scammers need account holders to give up certain information to access our bank accounts, as you just said. So are there any cases where fraudsters have accessed accounts without help from the account holder? And if yes, how do we protect ourselves against that?
Well, they are very limited
mm-hmm.
Ways to access your account.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first one, like I just discussed, is the 2FA authentication
mm-hmm.
that you might give unknowingly. Secondly, there is now another one that we are picking up that is now making the trend. We call it AnyDesk.
Mm.
So what this does is you're on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Facebook has those advertisements. You are playing a game. Click on this link. You click on this link. You download the game. Unknowingly, you also downloaded a malware.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that now AnyDesk is like a mirror to your phone or your
computer.
Mm-hmm. So those guys will be able to see in real time what you are doing. So you might not have given the OTP, the card numbers, but you gave them access to your device that you use to log into your banking or into your email. So they will be able to see how you enter the password and mm-hmm. copy it from there. So that is one of the growing trends that we have picked up. But once again, for fraudsters to go into your account, they need you. That is why they are phishing. This is why they call you, pretending to be either a banking official or somebody from the local. No, we're calling for a minister of water for an application. You must pay. So, it's impossible to go into your account without you being involved. So do not click on links. Do not download unnecessary apps.
Mm-hmm.
Do not provide any information to anybody calling you, pretending to be an officer, a bank staff member, even you, HD.
Exactly.
Saying, I'm calling from Eagle. You won something here. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. Never give up. Rather be safe than sorry.
Yes.
Even if it's supposedly your one chance to win $1 million.
Yes. So what I can also say is that to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
easy steps, your passwords, make them very unique. Do not recycle passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Do not have the same password for all your devices. Recycle them on a monthly basis. And also report any suspicious transaction to the bank, even if it's an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, one question I just got now when, you're talking about the password, you know, on a lot of devices, they say, save your password.
Yes.
Is that, when it comes to bank accounts specifically, is that a safe thing to do?
No.
No?
Well, the reason why we're saying no, even if it's your own laptop, your own personal device.
Yeah.
You also have people around you. You might have kids at home, mm-hmm. friends. So once you do that, it means that every time you go to your banking, on our website, for example,
mm-hmm.
on your laptop, the login details are already saved. You just log in. So this person has access to your account.
Mm.
So never save your login information on any device.
Mm-hmm.
Rather just know it by heart. You enter it every time. It's safer. It's mm-hmm. better.
100%. Now, another form of fraud per se. Mm-hmm. is the story of investment schemes that we hear about often.
Mm-hmm.
One of the listeners asked, if I'm tricked by an investment scheme, does that count as a fraud attack as well?
Yes, there is definitely a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You are being tricked by these guys with false promises that there's a big, if you invest this much, you'll get this much. So there is definitely a scheme as well. So how do you protect yourself during this? If this is occurring to you or they are attempting to now recruit you, the first thing you need to do is verify the legitimacy of this investment.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Bank of Namibia, you can call the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You can even try to find information on the website regarding that company that is contacting you and try to find out. Secondly, remember that if it's too good to be true, It's probably not.
Yeah.
So do not fall victim to these investment scams and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We see that they mostly originate through Facebook, and you should already be very wary because no entity will recruit
through Facebook.
Through Facebook, that is social media. They will recruit you via their official channels, emails, mm-hmm. phone calls,
mm-hmm.
and explain to you in detail how this is going to happen. And once again, if it's too good to be true, for example, they're asking you for 5,000, the return on investment after 3 months is 50,000.
Yeah.
That is too good to be true.
Exactly.
So yes, be alert.
100%. Stay vigilant.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious about, as you mentioned earlier, there's been a rise in cyber attacks in general. Has that coincided with the rise in cyber attacks when it comes to bank accounts as well?
Yes.
Yes.
When it comes to cyber attacks, they attack every point of entry at any company that has sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
So the banks are not excluded from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was it this year when we saw the report on the, on in the newspaper and the news that Telecom was once, attacked and a few of our clients or a few of their clients lost information. So cyber attack is not limited to any company. They will attack.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what type of security layers you have in place will also determine how far they go.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about FMB is that it's fully protected. There's layers on layers on layers. We call it the onion layer. So mm-hmm. after one layer, there's another layer. So
mm-hmm.
yes. So how they recruit, how they use or what they use to attack you.
Yeah.
It's phishing, emails,
mm-hmm.
AI mimicking communications,
yeah.
and deepfake. What is deepfake? Deepfake is when a video of HD now
mm-hmm.
circulating on social media
mm-hmm.
looks like him, sounds like him, speaks like him.
Yeah.
If you invest 20,000, now you can get 100,000 in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So just be vigilant because remember once again, for anybody to access your information, just not your banking information, your
mm-hmm.
emails, your WhatsApp takeover, they need you.
Yes.
So do not click on links. Do not download very suspicious platforms or apps because this could be just a front to access your account.
100%.
Yeah.
Another question we got from one of the listeners. She said, if someone has my ID, my account and my phone number, are they able to access my bank account?
No. So somebody having your ID number,
mm-hmm.
your account number, your cell phone number, your ID number, they'll not be able to access your account.
Okay.
That they need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be very careful. So what they do is, and we as now, as clients or as people,
yeah.
in our normal life, we have businesses that we are running,
mm-hmm.
looking for accommodation, applying for a credit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When you fill in all those information and the scammers, for example, get now hold of your information through whatever domain that they got.
Yeah.
This is why they need to call you first to trick you to give them that one-time OTP, that 2FA.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that our clients are very worried about, this person called me, they mm-hmm. have my information. I would still guarantee you that even if they have all your information, they will still not be able to log into the account. That is why they need you.
They still need that valuable key from
that
you.
That valuable key. So be very wary.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody calls you and they're already telling you, am I speaking to Mr. HD Osiku? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your cell phone number? Yes. Is this your ID? Yes. Do not be afraid.
Okay.
That is how they are testing you.
Yeah.
They'll come up with a story. Then next thing you see, you'll receive an OTP.
Yeah.
And, we are also asking our clients to really pay attention to the OTPs because it will be written. What is it for? It will be saying you're about to link your FMB app to this particular profile.
Yeah.
Here's the OTP and it says nicely in bold, do not share. So nobody can access your account without your help.
Mm-hmm.
So be vigilant. Do not share anything.
Mm-hmm.
OTPs, card numbers, passwords, pins at all. Doesn't matter how the story is. Rather call the bank. We're here to assist and guide you as well as educate and secure you
mm-hmm.
on our official platform, 061-299-2222.
Say that the number one more time.
061-299-2222. We are available 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to assist you any time of the day and guide you on what will happen if you did fall victim to a scamming or an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, colleagues, Even if it was an attempt, even if somebody calls you, report the number to us so that we can engage with our stakeholders such as MTC Telecom, the Namibian Police, for these numbers to be traced and blocked because they are terrorizing our nation. So yes, be vigilant.
100%. Is there any last message you'd like to leave with the listeners before we let you go this morning?
Yes. The message that I'm going to leave is the same message that we have been preaching as industrial leaders. Do not share your information, just not when it comes to banking. This is in your everyday life. Do not provide information to people that you don't know, calling you, pretending to coming from certain organizations. Protect yourself at all times. Change your pins when it's required. Do not log on to unknown computers on public Wi-Fi such as the airports and so forth. So be vigilant. If you're vigilant, nothing will happen. The banking system, the traditional banking system, has not changed over this decade. Yes, cyber attacks are increasing as access to digitalization is there. But once again, they still need you to go into your account. So be vigilant, stay focused, stay awake, report it as soon as possible.
100%.
Yes.
Now, before we let you go, share the number one last time for the listeners.
061-299-2222.
Thank you very much for your time, Theo. This has been another edition of the FNB segment brought to you by FNB Namibia.
This has been the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Catch the FNB segment every Monday from 7:45.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is... Welcome back, and thank you, and thank you, HT. And that was the FNB Namibia segment, and the message is very clear. Don't give your information, your personal information, your banking information to anyone, to a person that you don't know. So, and be vigilant. So, and change your passport when you need to. So those are some of the things that you need to, you know, to be careful about, and be vigilant. So just to avoid that, you know, to avoid, your money disappearing without know even how did it does, how did it disappear? Okay. Thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Now we are back in the, in Ondangwa. So we are so back. We are back in Ondangwa and, we live, from Ondangwa studio, and welcome back. So what you can still expect around 8:30, as I said, around 8:30, we actually going to have a guest on, in on the show. So from the Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. And we will be talking about, can Namibia's youth lead the country's energy transformation? So that's what we're going to be looking at. So make sure that you tune in, you stay tuned for that interview that's coming up. Maybe you're a youth and you want to know how you can actually, how you can participate or get, or maybe you're thinking you want to actually get in, you want to participate in this new, energy transformation in Namibia. So, and you want to know how to do that, and make sure that you tune in at 8:30 when we speak to someone from Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. So, and also later on, if we have time, we're also going to speak about what the president was actually demanding. When it comes to higher banking fees and financial inclusions, we're going to look at that. But let's start off. Let's look at the story that I was talking about. So if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and I'm your host, Michael Chavetti, here with you on this beautiful Monday morning. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the big national headlines, you know, difficult news, that we miss the stories that bring a bit of hope, you know. And I have one of those for you today. So this is a story. It is a story by Anacleta in today's edition of The Villager. So
what you need to do for you to read the story in depth. So make sure that you subscribe. You subscribe to by just sending your name and your email at 08 0800 44 41 44 08 0800 41 44. So once you send that, so you will be receiving your copy of a free copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So today's The Villager is out already. So if you are subscribed, definitely you can follow. So the story that I'm unpacking this morning. So now over the weekend there was a wonderful event in the Erongo region. A new project was launched. It is called the Hope Farm Project. The Hope Farm Project. So the basic story is this. So the government, with the big help from the private sector, gave a livestock to 30 farming families. So we're talking about 100 of sheep, you know, a good quality breed stock to give these families a real start. Okay? Now, on the surface, this is just a feel-good stories, you know, which it is, and it is. It's a feel-good stories. But I want us to look at what is really happening here, you know, because this project raises some very important issues for our country's future, for our nation's future. So now, I want us to, you know, this is unpacking the day. So I want us to look at some aspect from the articles, or from this project in the articles, and highlight. As I said, this is a feel good story that really give us some hope. So let's look at this. Let's look at some of those issues, important issues, which are really very important for our nation's future. So first, let's talk about partnership, which we found in this story. Okay. So it wasn't just a government handout, like many other, you know, maybe like, I wouldn't call it handout. Other resettlements are not handout, but so let me say it wasn't just a government handout. So there was a major mining company, Swakop Uranium was also involved. So where the local and also the local leaders at the regional councils and the government and the governor's offices. So we have the government, you know, in terms of we have now the mining company also involved, and so were the local leaders at the regional council and the governor's office. So this is what now we call a public-private partnership. A public-private partnership. The triple P's. I nearly said the triple PPP. So it's PPP, the triple P's. Okay? So this is now what we call a public-private partnership, because we have, you know, the government involved. You also have the mining company involved, Swakop Uranium, and you have the local leaders, local regional council, and the governor's offices, all that involved. So this is so important. It's so important. You know that the government has the responsibility, but it doesn't always have all the resources. So the private sector has the resources, but it also has a responsibility to the community it operates in. So, and when you now, and this is what we call the private, you know, the PPP, as we said, the PPP. So when they work together, things can happen that neither the government nor the private sector could do alone. So this project is a perfect, really, it's a perfect example of that model in action. It's a perfect model of PPP actually in action. It's a smart way to get things done. So, and as we have seen it, so this is the, we, and this is what the government actually asking. This is the way, that's the model that we're asking in different communities. So where the private sectors, who has the resources, and in some cases the government doesn't have the resources, but the private sectors have the resources, is to create that opportunity for the private sectors actually to invest in the community where they operate. So like we have here, the rich, where we have now Swakop Uranium. So that's very important. I think, as I said, that's the model that we want to see, where the private sectors involve and invest in the community in which they operate. So, and as I said, when they work together, when we work together, things can happen. When the government and private sectors work together, things can happen. And in which neither the government nor the private sector can do that alone. So, yeah. So the second big idea here is that this is not just a gift, all right? As I said, it's not something that was just handed out. It is a revolving scheme. So that's what the article's indicating. It's a revolving scheme. So what does that mean? So it means the farmers who receive the sheep this weekend have a duty. So once their flocks grow, they will have to pass on the number of lambs to another, you know, family in the community. So it is a, how would they call it? It is a pay it forward system. You know, it's a pay it forward system. And this is the key, and this is the most important thing. This is the key to making the project like this actually sustainable. So for you to make this project sustainable, it's like when you just, you know, this is a way to actually to make the project a project in this system more sustainable. It's not one-time donation that ends here. It's like a seed that is planted, designed to grow, and be shared. So year after year, so that's the system. It builds community, not dependency. So, and also it teaches responsibility alongside the new, you know, the new farming skills that they provide. So, and that brings me now to my third point. So, remember, it's also a revolving scheme, and the third point is that it's the support. Well, anyone who has farmed knows it is not as simple as putting animal in the field, you know. So the Minister of Agriculture has promised to provide veterinary services, and also continuous training. So, this is very very important, because you know many people that have been settled on the farms in a resettlement program, some of them they are just dumped on the farm. No support at all, and there are little animals that they have, maybe 30 goats that they were given, you know, hasn't received issues like, services like veterinary services and continuous training, they haven't received that. So in the end, you know, they found themselves, their animal maybe dies and they don't have much of the skill actually to be able to profitably use the land as it's given to them. So this is absolutely critical. It's critical because without that support, a project can fail, as we have seen that, as we have seen many projects, especially when it comes to resettlement, has actually failed, you know, because animal can get sick. The farmers might not know how to manage their new assets. You gave them about 30 goat or whatever, how many stocks that you've given them. They may not know how to manage their asset. So providing the sheep as to these farmers is step one. You know, that's step one. But providing the knowledge and the safety net to protect that investment, I think that is the step that leads to real long-term success. And I think that should have been embedded into many projects that came before. So, as I said, providing that knowledge and that safety net to protect that investment, because both the private sectors and the government have to make sure that you protect this investment. You don't want to redo this over and over and over. So, as I said, that is a step that leads to real long-term success. So, and finally, let's look at the bigger picture now. So why does this matter to someone in you in Windhoek, me in Ondangwa, or someone in Katima Mulio who is not a farmer for God's sake? So why does this matter? Why do we care about this? Okay? So now the official at the launch, who was actually the Minister of Agriculture, Inge Dhamwani Kamwi, talked about big national goals. All right? So things like food security and import substitution. So now let's make that plain. So food security really means we can feed ourselves as a nation, and import substitution means we produce more of our own meat, our own milk, our own crops here, right here in Namibia, instead of actually buying it from other countries. So Dhamwani actually, you know, emphasized the importance of a project like that to create food security and import substitution. So every time a small farmer in Erongo succeed, you know, our entire nation get a little bit stronger, if you look at it that way. We get a bit economically as well. So more local food is in our shops. So means more money stays in our local economy. So it creates jobs, not just on the farm, but in transport, in butcheries, and in markets. So, and that's very, 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 very important. So this Hope Farm project, is part of a bigger national program that is been running for over a decade, helping hundreds of farmers across the country. So it is slow, I think. It's quite slow. It's because it started quite a long time ago. But it's a steady process, given what happened now. But it is a solid plan, I think. So in this way. So, yes, it's a good news story. It's a good news story about 30 families getting a new start. But it's also a story about a modern way of solving problems through partnership. So it's a it's a story about building sustainable community, not just giving handouts. And that's very significant. And it's a story about how we, step by step, build a stronger, more self-sufficient Namibia for all of us. So I think it's a project worth watching and see how it's developed, and certainly a project worth celebrating, you know. And let's keep watching how it works and how it develop, and see whether that can be replicated to other areas as well. So what do you think? This is a story that is in our in today's edition of The Villager. So make sure that you subscribe. And it's simple to do that. All what you need to do is just, you know, you just send your email, your name and your email to 081-200-41-44. So, and then you definitely will be receiving your edition of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So what do you think about this PPP project? What do you think about this Hope Farm project, which really demonstrate a good demonstrate the PPP model working in practice? So give us a call. We still have about 11 minutes before we get to our next item. That's an interview with our guest at 8:30. So what is your take? You may come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. So do come through and have your say.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omotiha, utekiro kaguna, I matina, omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana, longeshifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupipira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oaniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, this is your number one talk radio stations. And to you, just join us live here on Unpacking the Day. So we were just looking at one of the stories in the villages in today's edition of The Villager, and make sure that you subscribe to get a free copy of The Villager. So the story is about, and I found, as I said earlier, I said that, you know, sometimes we focus more on the headlines, national headlines and difficult news, that sometimes we miss these stories like this that bring a bit of hope. It's about the project, this Hope Hope Farm project, which has given about has gave livestock to 30 farming families. So, and the most important things here that I think that I was trying to really highlight is the partnership. The partnership between the government and the private sectors. The government actually partnered up with Swakop Uranium to actually able now to help the farmers. So, and this is actually a perfect model of public-private partnership. So in action, actually. So, and it's something that we, as I always said, so if we must learn to celebrate and also to criticize where we need to. And this is just one of those examples that we should be celebrating and really highlight what is happening. So the second idea from that is that it's not just a gift. It's not a handout. It's a revolving scheme, which actually, you know, and this, in this way, it making the project more sustainable, because it is not one time donation that ends there. So it's like a seed that is planted and designed to grow and be shared. So after year after year. So, and the support the government would provide. The Minister of Agriculture has promised to provide the veterinary services and also continues actually to provide training. So, and these are elements that are very very critical. So when it comes to really making sure that the it is sustainable. So, and as we said, you know, animal, sometimes the farmers may not actually know how to manage, you know, the new asset that you gave them, the new livestock that you gave them. They may not know. So they need constant services like veterinary services and also the continuous training, so that they protect their investment. And also the government have a responsibility, and even the private sector, you have invested in the farms. You want to make sure that you protect that investment. And that is the step that leads to really long-term success. So, and when you look at the bigger picture, is that, which is also the what the minister have talked about, Minister of Agriculture, Dlamini, that this is for, it's about big national goals, which is food security and import substitutions. So so we want to feed ourselves as a nation, and this is the way to go. And we want to produce more of our own. Of our own meat, of our own milk, of our own, you know, crops right here in Namibia. So instead of buying it from other countries, and this is what we're crying all the time, something that we want to stop. So I think this is a project in the good day. It's a project that's really that we can celebrate. And hopefully that it succeed, and be able to replicate this to other part of the country. So let's hope that this farm project is it's a part of the bigger national program, that can be then replicated to many other places. So all right, so. Yeah, you, as I said, we, I know we don't have much time anymore. So let's, okay, I'm going to reach out to my guest and see if I can get a hold of her. And then we get into the next item on our show. So stay tuned. We'll definitely be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha, utekiru wakaguna, ii matina omjo. Chika wa shafaa sana nana, nongeshifa, ya eshiwike moshiwana. Ie moyao, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro, nirandisoma, yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to Unpacking the Day, and you are tuning in Eagle FM. So the space where we break down the headlines. So Namibia is sitting on the brink of an economic shift that could change everything. So with massive oil and gas discovery off our shores and production expected to kick off by 2029 or 2030, the promise of wealth, jobs, and global relevance is actually real. So, but quite often we hear that we are critically short of the skills needed to actually drive this transformation. So the question is, will young Namibians rise to the occasion and seize this once in a generation opportunity? So, or will we sit back and watch the jobs, contracts, and leadership roles go to outside because to outsiders because we didn't prepare in time? So the youth in Oil and Gas Summit 2025, which just concluded in Wavish Bay over the weekend, say the youth can lead, but are they ready? Do they have the training, the platform, the vision, and most important, the access to be in the driver's seat of Namibia's energy's future? So joining us to unpack these questions and more is Justina Erastus, the founder of the summit and a passionate advocate for youth empowerment. So good morning, Justina, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So can you share, first of all, can you share with us what first inspired you to launch the Youth in Oil and Gas Summit here in Namibia?
Thank you. I believe what truly inspired me to, you know, get to creating a platform for the youth is really for them to have a voice that represents them in this emerging industry.
Yeah.
I think it was important for young people to feel represented and to have a space that communicates not only in their own language, you know, young people, but it inspires them to really take up important roles in this economy, in this industry, sorry.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of inaccessibility, especially for young people, try and get into it, and also and a lot of inaccessible information is made available to them. So I believe the summit really was created to inspire belief that Namibia's energy revolution, it must include the next generation.
Yeah.
And that summit really inspires not only students or graduates, but all the way to leadership, so that we can collaborate and meaningfully and engage meaningfully with the industry.
Yeah. So you just mentioned that there was that inaccessibility. So either of information or really being able to be or being engaging in the process. So
yeah.
What are some of the biggest challenges young Namibia now face in positioning themselves to benefit from these discoveries?
Honestly, from the top of my head, a big inaccessibility could be finance.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that we really tried to unpack and address at the conference recently. We did invite the banks, financial institutions, and we had conversations around how can a young person who doesn't have collateral get access to funds to start their own business. And the several banks that came through, they gave us their different models that are available. And I believe the young people who were in the room got at least some direction as to how they can access finances. Even financing to attend conferences, we understand that it can be a little bit straining.
Yeah.
But I know that the summit really tried its best to make it affordable and accessible.
So, and okay, speaking of the summit itself that held, that took place in Wavish Bay, how would you describe it? Has it been successful? Has it been to your expectation or to the objectives that you were hoping it would achieve?
I truly, I'm so excited even answering this question. I think it exceeded my expectation. The turnout was incredible. The questions really showed you that the participants were not only just present, but they were actively engaging. They were listening. They were participating in the conversation. We had we were honored to have our special advisor for upstream petroleum, Honorable Cornelia Shilunga. She was present. Our governor, Honorable Natalia Huahuse, was present. The executive chairman of the African Energy Chamber, Mr. NJ Ayuk, also present. So really the turnout from cross borders throughout Namibia, it was incredible. I think it was very successful. And I'm excited to read the event report and also share it, and just so we can make the rest of the nation know what our findings were.
Yeah.
And also to inspire and already start advocating for the third edition, because I believe this is a national platform that every young Namibian should be a part of.
Yeah. Besides access to finance that you mentioned earlier, we keep hearing about a skill shortage in oil and gas. So what are the biggest gap you are seeing, and how the summit stepping up to help young people filling them?
So the oil and gas industry is highly technical.
Yeah.
And it operates on an international standard. Right? And we need to make sure that our young people are competent enough to play in that, whether they are coming in from a finance background, engineering background, whatever it is. I believe, and we have to make efforts to empower, especially those with a TVET background.
Yeah.
Those who have vocational training. So we really need to try and collaborate with those training institutions and align them with the industry standards so that we make sure that by 2029, 2030, when the first oil flows, majority of the blue collar are Namibians.
Mm.
And I think that is why the summit is taking a proactive approach in having those important conversations, not only with the youth, but also with the relevant authorities, training institutions, to say, hey, guys, so when the rig comes, what are usually the skills that are needed? We identify those. NIMT and VPC, do you offer these or can we introduce these courses?
Mm.
Petrofund, are you able to fund two or three people to go and study? And I would also like to announce that 2026 has already been endorsed by Petrofund, and we are very excited to be going into an MOU with Petrofund, which is a big win for, you know, the constituents of the summit, which means the relevant authorities are taking notice and they're jumping on board. They're very supportive. So in terms of the skills, I would say there is a huge skills gap.
Yeah.
And it's evident just by looking at the number of Namibians that are really the skilled Namibians that are employed, let's say employed, in the industry currently. But it's identifying a gap doesn't mean it's detrimental. It means there's an opportunity to improve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the local oil and gas industry is still developing. And how do you work? I mean, you're working with the training institutions and maybe with, how do you work with established companies like NAMCOR and maybe Petrofund? Yeah. And an institution to create now, how do you work with these established companies now to create this meaningful partnership for young people?
Collaboration.
Mm.
So the summit has is a convening platform, and we will also work towards partnering with our counterparts, the Namibia Youth Energy Forum, because they have the majority constituents. And so essentially, it is really to empower the Namibian youth. So by strategically partnering with Namibia Youth Energy Forum and collaborating with, let's say, NAMCOR, our national oil company, and as well working with Petrofund, they have the resources, they have access to the stakeholders.
Mm.
So it's sitting down, it's drafting a plan for the next edition. It's, when it comes to the summit, we are an information sharing platform.
Yeah.
And we strategically partner with the relevant, let's say, stakeholders. If we want to do training, we partner with the right training institutions. We don't offer the training.
Mm.
We only offer the information. We convene, we bring people together.
Yeah.
So when we say, so when you're asking, how do you work with the NAMCOR and the Petrofund, we come together, we sit at a table, we discuss exactly based on the reports and the questions of the young people, and also identifying the needs that the industry needs. We try and address that strategically.
Yeah, but do you have some kind of memorandum of understanding, or have you have some contract agreement with these institutions, or just on a project level, do you partner or how do you work with this?
So currently, I can only confirm that the summit is entering into a memorandum of understanding with Petrofund.
Yeah,
it also endorsed the third edition, 2026, So that is the one that I can positively confirm right now at this moment. Mm-hmm. But we still have endorsements from the African Energy Chamber, which we use as a vehicle to gain access to the global market. So Namibians won't only have, you know, that local exposure, but through endorsements and partnerships with institutions like the Chamber, we also have access to the international market. Yeah.
Yeah. So you also mentioned in your speech that youth often only get clickbait offers on social media, but no really opportunities. So how does youth in oil and gas summit shift that narrative?
I think it's really by being proactive and going beyond writing articles on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I think it's really by being persistent and going door to door. Because, without being biased, there are companies that, you know, claim to empower, but as long as it's a good look on their profile. But I think empowering really comes by having numbers don't lie. We want to see the amount of unskilled youth that you have brought into your company and empowered by upskilling them or training them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair to say, you know, expect a graduate to enter the company with 5 years experience, you know, unless you have taken a proactive approach to already start interning while in school, which is not easy for everyone.
Yeah.
So how about we put our money where our mouth is and really just empower the youth by giving them the opportunity, because it's impossible for them to gain the skills if the companies don't give them the opportunity. And so also for the youth as well, I do wish to also encourage them to drop the entitled approach. Just because we're Namibians, we're not entitled to anything. We have to earn it. Like I said, it's a highly technical industry.
Yeah.
Let's find out what are the standards that it operates on internationally and align ourselves. That way, it will be easier if we are qualified and we also check the rest of the boxes.
Yeah, you. One of the maybe the objectives or the goal, the goal of the summit is, it's actually mentorship and networking. And what role do mentorship and networking play in the summit's approach to youth empowerment? Do you have already maybe examples of successful stories?
I myself am an example of a successful mentorship story, you know, and it really started with just being brave enough to walk up to the person that, you know, looks like the future you want, or they have the career that you want. And I made sure to incorporate it in the summit, especially for this edition, by making sure that after the conversations, there were opportunity for the young people to have one-on-one conversation with the speakers and so the industry leaders. Sometimes it's just about having a 5-10 minute conversation and having access to the person. And also, we had a few young professionals come and, you know, testify that, like, from the first edition, this is what happened when I had access to this individual. I think mentorship is very important. I don't think it's one aspect that we should exclude. And although one individual cannot mentor an entire, you know, region,
definitely.
I think every leader should take up at least one or two young people that they can transfer their skills to, soft skills, hard skills to. Young people should have a leader that they can be accountable to, especially those aspiring to work in the oil and gas industry. And talent, hard work always beats talent.
So one thing that has become very emphasized even by the president is its local content. So what does local content mean in the context of Namibia's oil and gas industry? So, and why is it so important?
Local content is the participation of local businesses in the oil and gas industry. And in this context, I believe it really starts with empowering young people to have their own businesses and have those businesses participate in the emerging sector.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means we need to start businesses that operate on an international standard. And again, it comes to on the basis that just because we're Namibian doesn't entitle us to, you know, win the contract for the tender, right? So I think local content really will help the economy in such a way that the proceeds from the oil and gas industry, it goes down the value chain and we make sure it ends up at the local kapana vendor, that local content. It ends up with a local taxi driver, that local content. But even if you start your own engineering firm and you start your own asset management firm, and these are all businesses or careers that you were able to discover through conversation if you attend the summit, I think local content is such it's a big buzzword, but it's the most simple way to put it is just participation of local businesses in this industry, but not on the basis that you are Namibian, on the basis that you are, you operate on the, you deserve to be there, you operate on the industry standard.
Yeah. Given now that probably we Namibia first oil production expected around 2029 or 2030, 2030, So it's getting more now, further and further. Yeah. So now, given the expertise that young people would require in real to have meaningfully contributing to this industry, and at this point in time, how would we really prepare the young people, and especially when we think of young women and an underrepresented group, because this is a male-dominated sector, how do we then ensure that also young women and underrepresented group are also included in this male-dominated sector?
Right now, I think Namibia's oil and gas industry is really looking to build a local workforce. So there are many opportunities that exist.
Yeah.
And I think young people should really, especially women, those from underrepresented backgrounds, should look into joining careers in, you know, logistics or offshore services. But also engineering. I want to always emphasize on the TZ sector.
Yeah,
and those with those who go to VTC, the blue collar really are the ones who are going to play a big role because they are the hands on deck.
Yeah,
and so I want to encourage young women, especially, not to shy away from engineering roles because they are capable. And I also want to encourage companies to actually go for the women with such roles. Building a local workforce is going to take a lot of human resources. And the one resource that Namibia really has, 72% of it, is its youth.
Yeah.
So it's really going to require young people to step up their game and join roles that are of HSE, health, safety, and environment, legal and policy consultation roles. There are so many gaps when you zoom into the value chain that young Namibians can plug into. And really, when government partners with initiatives like these, we are able to identify and then also find a solution with the training institutions. I'm very excited about, you know, this partnership with Petrol Fund.
Yeah.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, the announcement from the Ministry of Education to make, I think, education free, I think that would also assist. So it's really a combination of, you know, combined efforts So we cannot work in silos. It's really about collaboration.
Yeah. So the other things, what are some of the, what are the concrete skills or knowledge areas that workshops and master classes at the summit actually focus on?
Finances.
Yeah.
Logistics, which is a huge part because, I mean, here in Walfish Bay, we are the, you know, the hub of oil and gas,
yeah,
right, with port, with Namport. So really, we really discuss finances because I believe as a young person, the one question you really always have, finances, where can I find funds? I don't have collateral. Will the bank trust me with these, with their money? And we had amazing workshops from, you know, institutions, financial institutions. And the good thing is all of these workshops and master classes that were recorded and will soon be shared on the summit YouTube pages. So you can also revisit them and rewatch them.
Mm.
So we spoke about finances, career opportunities in logistics, because it's a huge part here in Walfish Bay.
Yeah.
We spoke about, we highlighted the training institutions, the ones that are able to sponsor your studies. We had presentations from the British government, the Chevening program. Yeah, so many.
Mm.
But yeah, I'll be sure to make all of this information available on our YouTube channel.
Okay, yeah. So how do you then measure the impact and the success of the summit beyond events themselves?
Like I mentioned earlier, we had a young lady who attended the first session as a participant.
Yeah.
And on addition, she was a panelist because she had such a beautiful testimony on how she is a degree holder. She's an education degree holder, a degree in education, majoring in geography. But today she is an R&T technician at one of the oil companies, Halliburton. And I believe that really opened the eyes of the attendees to say, you can always upskill or reskill.
Yeah.
So reskill means to gain a new skill that makes you competent enough to play in the oil and gas industry. So such testimonies are really affirming that there is positive impact.
Mm.
And not just verbally, but there's action to it. We are seeing people changing. And we're not encouraging people to start dropping their current careers. You can still actively participate with your background in human resources, HR, with your background in logistics, even with your background as a poet in creativity, because companies need to communicate.
Mm.
So I always want to emphasize and advise young people, be sure you are doing what you love, and then you capitalize on it.
Yeah. Now, considering the global shift to renewable energy, how does youth in Oil and Gas Summit integrate ideas about sustainability and future energy trends into its programming?
That's one important question. I think we really advocate for a sustainable way of extracting our resources, even though we are just really the smallest part of the players. I don't think that it's an us problem. It's not really, even though we advocate for a clean and a sustainable way to do it,
yeah,
I don't think it's really that big of an impact. What the summit essentially wants to encourage is for young people to take up roles to empower not only themselves, but our communities.
Yeah.
Because we understand that there are good rewards in this industry. And it really starts by being prepared for it. With the global trends and the world moving to renewable sources,
yeah,
I believe that we do have clean energy solutions like wind and solar, but if it's to encourage young people to really, you know, move to renewable, I think there's a balance. I think we can exist. It's called an energy mix, right?
Yeah.
So yes, we did have some green people take the stage and you know share their perspectives.
Yeah.
But I think it can coexist. I don't want that narrative that this versus that. I don't think that. I think we are such a resource-rich country, and we can coexist and make the most of our resources.
Mm, yeah, definitely. So how do you see then the Youth in Oil and Gas Summit evolving over the next, let's say, 5 years? What new goals or initiatives are on the horizons?
I see a consistent uphill trajectory. I see more collaboration, especially from government institutions and line ministry, like the Ministry of Education.
Yeah.
I see the summit really collaborating with other international youth initiatives, because we also want to learn from, you know, successful oil producing companies. How do they do it, and what can we learn from them?
Mm.
So hence why the strategic collaboration with international organizations like the Chamber. I really see young people from Namibia taking us spaces globally.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a consistent uphill trajectory, and it looks promising, and it is promising.
Mm.
And it just requires that we consider our country first, and, you know, remain patriotic. I think there are good collaborations in the pipeline. So now I can only speak on the petrol fund.
Yeah.
But yeah, very excited for the future of the Namibian youth and the summit.
Yeah, from the summit that just actually concluded over the weekend, did any feedback from youth who participated that really touched you or reinforced your mission?
I think one very important one, though it might sound negative, was, you know, young people, you know, just expressing that, you know, the fee to attend was a little bit too high, and we had an honest conversation. And as young people, I think those are the conversations we need to have. We can't always sugarcoat everything, because we would not have true impact, or we won't make it. That's why we're not having those difficult conversations. And though the summit is really trying its level best to meet the youth halfway, we understand the unemployment rates, and we're trying to meet you halfway. I think one of our biggest goals this year would really be to work towards, you know, releasing that pressure, number one. Number two, I think it's just young people coming back and saying, we didn't have a platform that spoke for us or represented us. There was discussions had were technical, but we understood it. I really also want to thank every speaker that took the stage and took the time to communicate their expertise in such a way that every young person in the room understood it, and it was relatable, because you could tell by the conversation post, you know, the excitement. So, I think just those testimonies of having young people come back and say, I see a way. In high school, are saying, now I know what kind of engineering I want to do, and also young people coming up and saying, you don't have to be a geophysicist to really take up space in the oil and gas.
Yeah.
It's broad, it's a long value chain. You just need to take time, sit, zoom in, and see where you can plug in.
Yeah. So you also have said the summit turns ambition into national achievement. So how will you know it is working, and what does success look like for you?
I think with the recent NDP 6 and our ambitions as young Namibians to be not only spectators but active participators, when we meet those goals, when we see a reduce in unemployment, when we see an increase of Namibians on those fishing vessels or those oil rigs, I think that's what success looks like for the summit. The goal is to have Namibian businesses flourishing and contributing to the Namibian economy through the oil and gas industry, and also then contributing to other sectors, because we don't even want to encourage young people to abandon other sectors like agriculture. People will always need to eat.
Yeah.
So the money needs to circulate throughout the economy. So I think success for the summit really looks like young Namibians with a good knowledge and understanding, taking up space through their businesses, through their initiatives. Also other youth initiatives starting up that represent specific youth needs.
Yeah.
That's what we want to be, a catalyst for such change.
Yeah.
I think that's what true success would look like for the summit, yeah.
Yeah, I believe you also used all youth-owned businesses for the summit services. So
yeah.
That's really bold. And how did you pull that off? And why is it such a big deal to give them a shot?
Because I want to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't like clickbait stuff. If I say something, I really intend to do it.
Yeah.
So really giving the small businesses a chance and saying, guys, this is a vision. Are we aligned? I believe we can pull it off. Let's do it. And I think all the businesses and all of those businesses, whether it's the catering, the photography, the decor, the communications team that played a huge role making sure we had live updates.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all Namibian black-owned young businesses.
Yeah.
And you could see the passion. And when somebody is playing a role that really puts together such a big, important dream, I don't believe it's a risk.
Yeah.
But you really need to put your trust and believe that it's going to work out. And I think that we really exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud, and I would really like to also encourage people to give people a chance, not to just say it, but to actually do it.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. So now, what can a listener listening right now, if they are interested, if they are young and interested in joining the oil and gas sector, but they don't know where to start, what can they do right now? If they are listening,
I think a listener who's listening right now, and they are maybe seeking to actively play a role, I think look up opportunities in spaces really like HSE,
yeah,
health, safety, environment, opportunities in logistics and offshore services. You can also look up engineering and technical services, as well as finance and procurement. So because those are you need to identify what does the industry need and where can I plug in, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, you can also identify scholarships, and that will really assist in either upskilling or reskilling.
Mm.
You know, upskilling is really just adding another qualification to what you currently have, but reskilling is adding a new skill, like having one skill and adding a new one. Look up the scholarships and the internships opportunities that are available.
Yeah.
And a listener could look into starting or building a startup through their local content participation, right? Or you can also then connect with the mentors or the speakers that were available. So those are all the many different things that any young person right now who's listening can do. And you can start by, you know, creating your LinkedIn account. And then I think that's the right and the best platform to really engage and meet these people and be bold, know your why, and then approach. If you know your why, then it will always answer the next question. Where are you going? And then how will you do what you want to do? So young people, I think majority of us have access to the internet. Let's spend our time wisely.
Yeah.
Let's engage with the right people. Let's expect more from ourselves as a Namibian youth, and let's assist our government. Instead of asking them, we want this, let's come together and say, this is what we have. Can you assist us with what we have?
Yeah, so beautiful. So last one, Justina. What is the one big thing you want our listeners to take away from this year's summit?
The one big thing I would really like the young people to take away the summit is consistency. Really, it matters. Mm. It doesn't matter what you do. If you are consistent and persistent with your goal,
yeah,
eventually you're going to knock on the right door. So yes, it sounds like a quote from Twitter, but this is what happens when you have a small dream to really empower your town.
Mm.
My town of Wolfish Bay. I was born here, raised here, and I know the opportunities available, but it's not fun to see people, especially from other regions, coming to take up opportunities. What is wrong with the youth of Wolfish Bay that they cannot partake?
Mm.
So if we can actively pull in people from other regions and pull in people from other countries, I think the summit was really born with the aim to educate young people from Wolfish Bay that this poor town really holds a lot of opportunities. And now it's flourishing and it's growing internationally.
Yeah.
And I want young people to also then identify other spaces in which they can also solve problems. Let us aim to become problem solvers.
Yeah.
In respect of whether it's mental health or whatever you're trying to solve, let us aim to become problem solvers. That is how we're going to grow ourselves as a nation and also assist our governments. Again, another thing that I want young people to take away is to move from the mindset of being entitled on the basis that we are Namibian.
Mm.
Let's come together, let's collaborate and work, and then approach our government and say, this is the initiative that we have. Can you assist us? Rather than going there and saying, we want this.
Yeah. So, yeah, and lastly, is there anything else that you deem important that you would like to share that I haven't asked you? So please, go ahead.
I would just like to close with firstly thanking all the participants who took the time to join us for the 2 days. We hope it was impactful. We'd like to thank all the speakers and all the sponsors and the partners and endorsers. And we'd also like to announce that the third edition is going to be held in July, the 3rd, the 4th of 2026. So July, the 3rd, the 4th, 2026, we will be meeting again right here in Wolfish Bay for another 2 days of impactful conversation.
Why not in another place? Why in Wolfish Bay again?
Strategically so, because we are close to the port, the harbor. And, you know, it's going to be very difficult to discuss port operations in the city. And I believe the city really has already enough, you know.
It's true. Places, you know, like Windhoek, you know.
Yeah. So I also want to inspire young people from the north to, you know, come up with their own initiative that speaks to their, you know, their region,
yeah,
you know, and their issues.
Mm.
I am born and raised in Wolfish Bay, and this is why I want to, you know, be here. But I want to invite you.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's like that, ne? Eh?
I also want you guys to invite me to Kavango and Rundu.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want to inspire the fellow youth to also do.
Yeah.
But we will have road shows around the country, and we'll be announcing those soon as well.
Yeah. So, Justina, you are a living example of a youth leader, you know, who is not about leadership that always people talk about in future. You are future leaders. You are a leader. You are a leader right now. And this initiative is very, very, very important, especially for these new industries that we hopefully would transform the lives of many Namibians. So, and thanks for making time actually to speak to us and give us a shed light to what, you know, Youth in Oil and Gas Summit is actually doing. And hopefully we will be able to talk to you again at some other point.
No, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being a voice of that shares important information like this, especially to the youth.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to continue engaging Eagle FM. Thank you.
Now, have a very pleasant day, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was Justina, the founder of Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. Really just giving us a rundown on what happened at Wavish Bay at the summit that took place, that actually concluded over the weekend, and also give us the broader picture of what youth in oil and gas, what are the plans, what are the goals, and trying to advocate for youth empowerment in Namibia. So, well, if you were following our discussion, so you are now welcome to come through and have your reaction. And what do you think overall in terms of what do you think about the youth in oil and gas summit? What do you think about their initiatives and their goals and what they are trying to achieve when it comes to oil and gas, and encouraging young people to participate. So what do you think about that? And so you're most welcome. And overall, think about also the youth participation in this upcoming industries. What do you think? How do you think they should be engaging the youth? How do you think the youth should be participating in this or get involved in this? So what are your opinion? So our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. Do come through and have your opinion on our discussions.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
Yes, democracy, you know, thrives through participation. So if we want democracy to thrive, we should participate. All right, and well, if you want the program to thrive, you should participate as well. And that's the platform that we create for you to participate. It's participation, people. So, and welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day. So my name is Michael Chiavelli. So I'm here until 9:30. So we still have about, our time now is about 17 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 13 minutes to go. And you're welcome to come through and have your say, have your opinion, have your reaction to what we have covered so far. So, yes, I was talking. I've been talking to Justina Erastus, who is actually the founder of the Youth in Oil and Gas Summit. And she's also a passionate advocate for youth empowerment. Yeah, and well, what is your take? What is your reaction to our discussions? So, our telephone number 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you may come through and have your say or your contribution on the topic. All right. So you're most welcome to come through any times. I'm not going to stand still. So I will be moving on. And while you are coming through. So the other thing that I wanted to really, I wanted to talk about, but as I said, you're most welcome to come through at any time and have your say on anything, even coming from Early Morning Scoop. If you want to comment on anything from Early Morning Scoop up to now, you're most welcome to do so. So, and so let's talk about something that definitely touches every single one of us, and this is our money. Excuse me. Our money, and more specifically, our banks. Now, ever feel like your bank charges you for just about everything? You know, a fee to deposit. When you are depositing, you are charged. When you are withdrawing, you are charged. There's a fee for withdrawal. You know, a fee for just having an account open. You know, so it's the bank is charging us for everything. So, and do you feel that way? And if you feel that way, well, you're not alone. You're absolutely not alone. It seems the highest office in the land is listening, actually. So the highest office, you know what is the highest office in the land? So look, start. The highest office is listening. And last week, President Nandi Ndaitwa, excuse me, gave a really, I would call it a very powerful speech, you know. It was the big event for the Bank of Namibia. So they were celebrating their 35th anniversary, and also launching our new look banknotes and coins. And if you want to hear, you must also should have listened and go to the podcast also and listen to Early Morning Scoop about what actually David was talking about, you know, when it comes to a new look of banknotes and coin. And he was asking questions whether was that a really a priority, you know, and couldn't have we spent that money in something else that are pressing issues. There are pressing issues that we could have actually then, you know, spent money on. So so go to the podcast and also look at what David have said on when it comes to banknotes and coins. So, but the president used this moment to send a very clear message to our entire financial industry. And the message was very, 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 very clear. Things need to change. And they need to change now. So that was the message. Things need to change. And they need to change now. So let's explore what she talked about. Because these are not small issues. These are the things that really affect our daily lives and our country's future. So it's just right to look at some of those. Now, first up is the big one. So the higher bank fees. So the president has put the Bank of Namibia and the Ministry of Finance on notice. She urged them to work together and create a regulation on bank charges. So the idea is that the fees we pay should be fair. So, and she definitely feel our pain. So they should match the service we get. It shouldn't feel like we are being punished for using a bank. that's how I feel. I feel I'm being punished, you know, by using a bank. And this, sometimes we think, man, why can't I get my cash? Whatever I do, you know, I must just get my cash. I shouldn't use the bank because it looks like the bank punishes you for using the bank, for using it. You know, because everything you're just being charged. So, and this is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. For years, people have complained that banking in Namibia is just too expensive. Now we're hearing a call for action from the very top, which is actually a good thing. From the very top. So, but it's not just about the cost. It's also about who get to use the bank in the first place. So the president pointed out the major problem, the financial exclusion. So the financial exclusion is something that also the president talked about. So many of our fellow Namibians, especially in rural areas, and those working in the informal sectors, our capana sellers, our small-scale farmers, our craft makers, you know, are left out. They are left out. And they are the priority. They are the majority. They are the majority. They are the majority. And yet they struggle to get access to the basic banking services. And this keeps them stuck. It keeps them stuck. It makes it harder for them to save. So it makes it harder for them to grow their businesses and even to build a secure future. And the president also indicated that as we move into a more digital world, this problem gets even more complicated. Many of us are now using banking apps and online services, but the president raised a critical point about digital literacy. So not everyone is comfortable with the technology. That's the president said. Many people lack the skill to use it, safely, which put them at risk of being scammed and simply being left behind. And if you are listening today to FNB Namibia segment, so these are the things that we're trying, you know, with FNB at least. We're trying to actually, the information that we're trying to spread, okay? So the president said we can't have a system that only works for those who are tech savvy, you know, people who know how to use the technology. So, and here is another big one, which is very, very, very close to my heart and probably close to your heart as well. And this is also in reference to what we're talking with Justina. So I know it is also for many of you. So our youth. So we have Namibia has one of the youngest population in the world. Our young people are full of energy and brilliant ideas, as I was discussing with Justina. But when they try to start a business, they hit the brick wall. They often, many of them brick, hit the brick wall. So the bank often won't give them the financing they need. And the president warned that. The president warned that this is holding back our entire economy. If the youth can't create jobs, who will? Who will create a job? So now, but there are something the government is doing. What is being done about all this? There is something. It's not just about talk. There is something. As I always said, so where there's something happening, we must always celebrate our success and also be able to criticize ourselves where we are not doing well. So the president announced that a National Youth Fund will be launched soon. And this is designed to give young entrepreneurs the capital they need to get started. I think the kind of like the government is frustrated with the banks and financial institutions. They are not doing what they're supposed to do to help the youth. So now the government actually have to come up with a National Youth Fund to facilitate that. So which is actually something that the bank should be able to do. She also directly called on Commercial Bank to get on board and support this initiative. So this is a challenge to them. It's a challenge to them. Are you part of the solution? So are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? And in this case, they are part of the problem. They are definitely part of the problem. And on top of that, a new 10-year plan, the National Financial Sector Transformation Strategy, is about to be launched as well. So this is the roadmap to fix. This is the roadmap to fix these long-standing weaknesses. You know, it's about making our financial system more local, more inclusive, and more supportive of our local, of our national goals. So, because it doesn't seem so. It doesn't seem so. So, when we put it all together now, so what we are seeing is a major push for change. Okay? It is a call for our financial sector to remember who it is supposed to serve. The people of Namibia, all of us, okay? All of us. So, and it's about making sure that having a bank account helps you get ahead. It should help us get ahead, not hold us back. In this case, that's how it feels like. It's holding us back. So, and it's also about, ensuring that young persons, young people, with a dream has a fair shot as well, that they have a fair chance as well. So, and it's also about building an economy where everyone from the village to the city has a chance to participate. And this is what the president is actually pushing. So these are big promises and we will be watching. We will be watching closely to see how they are put into action. But for today, it is a conversation that Namibia needed to have. Okay? That's a conversation that we need to have. So, yeah. And our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And that actually brings us already to the end of the show. And let me thank our guests and also those for listening. And let's book this time again tomorrow at the same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. So I will leave you in a capable hand of Helmut, who is coming up with Mind the Gap. And, well, have a pleasant day ahead. From me, Marco Savelli, I wish you a very good day and goodbye for now.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengira selma, kodara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oaniyaj. Eagle FM, go high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nune uteo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka okwene ushendi finawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora itatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM VI.